This is the introduction for the Decatur papers, both the Herald and Review and the Decatur Tribune, Part 1.
Good morning. This is Wendy Bauer reading to you today from the Decatur Herald and Review on July 20th, 2015. We will begin today with a reading of the obituary of Michael McElroy. Michael Tuna McElroy, 63, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Friday, July 17, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Mike was born March 2, 1952, in Aurora, Illinois, to Dick and Betty McElroy. He graduated from St. Teresa High School in 1970 and went on to receive an associate's degree from Danville Area Community College. He married Lynn Tutty McElroy June 21, 1980, in Danville, Illinois. Mike currently was the vice president of Skeff Distributing Company. He served on Decatur's City Council from 2003 to 2009 and as mayor of Decatur for the past 6 years. Mike was a member of Holy Family Catholic Church and proudly served on the board of directors for the Association of Beer Distributors of Illinois, IML, YMCA, Friends of St. Mary's, St. Teresa Development Board, Summer Start Festival, Knights of Columbus, Danville Convention and Tourism, past president of Danville JCs, past GCI senator, and former state muscular dystrophy chair. He is survived by wife Lynn of 35 years, son Matt, siblings Pat and Tim, and Ellen, brother-in-law Lee Tuttle. He was preceded in death by his parents. Public viewing will be held from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday, July 22, 2015, in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, with a visitation for family and friends to follow from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the church. Concelebration Mass of Christian Burial will be 11 a.m. Thursday, July 23, 2015, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Very Reverend Joseph M. Malloy, V.F., main celebrant. Private family burial will take place at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to St. Teresa High School Athletic Department. An article from Decatur by the Herald and Review staff. An investigation is underway after a male inmate in the custody of the Macon County Sheriff's Office died Saturday afternoon. Macon County Sheriff Thomas Schneider said the inmate was being treated for a medical issue and then went into medical distress. Macon County Jail corrections officers and medical staff attempted to revive him before the arrival of Decatur Fire Department and Decatur Ambulance Service paramedics. The inmate was taken to St. Mary's Hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival at about 12:18 p.m. Schneider asked the Illinois State Police to investigate the circumstances of the death. The coroner is expected to release the inmate's identity today after notification of next of kin. Accident injures Casey woman. From Casey, a Casey woman was injured after the pickup truck in which she was a passenger was struck by a semi-truck Saturday on Interstate 70. The Illinois State Police reported that a pickup driven by Jerry Downey of Casey was struck from behind by a truck driven by Amrit Bal Singh, 31, of Maple Heights, Ohio, at 7:40 p.m. near Casey. Catherine Downey, 64, was taken to Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center, Mattoon, for treatment of minor injuries. Police said Singh was following a semi-truck that was behind Downey's westbound pickup in the right lane when his semi-truck quickly passed the pickup. Singh was unable to slow down in time to avoid colliding with the pickup. Singh was ticketed for failing to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Another accident report, I-70 accident, claims man near Altamont. A driver was killed early Saturday when he lost control and rolled his car in an Interstate 70 construction zone just west of Altamont. Illinois State Police said Jeffrey Noble, 48, of Fulton, Missouri, was pronounced dead at the scene after the 6:23 a.m. accident. Police reports say Noble was westbound in the single-lane construction zone when he drove off the highway to the left, plowed into the grass median, overcorrected, and crossed back into the roadway before overturning and coming to rest in the interstate's closed right lane. The accident remains under investigation by the police and the Effingham County Coroner's Office. And a local article from Decatur, written by Tony Reed of the Herald and Review staff. Black and white, sweet all over. A picture of a little girl apparently showing an ice cream cone to a penguin, captioned Hannah Williams 10 of Decatur, got a curious inmate to follow her every move as she tempted it with an ice cream cone next to the glass wall of the penguin exhibit. Quinn Wilson never met a penguin she didn't like. Throw in an afternoon of free ice cream, too, and life for the Decatur girl was definitely all happening at the zoo. Sunday saw Scoville Zoo host its annual ice cream safari, where the price of admission includes free stops at 5 human feeding stations stocked with ice cream in various flavors. Quinn, 19 months, found the new penguin exhibit every bit as refreshing as the cold treats and is generally fascinated by any opportunity to get close to critters. She also likes the petting zoo. She likes the goats, said her dad, Jared. We're going to take her on the train for the first time today, and so we'll see if she likes that. Another member of the Wilson family, Quinn's one-week-old sister, Lena, was content to stay calm and sleepy in the care of her mom, Kelly, despite the parade of animals and frozen treats. Oh, she's eating dairy, explained her dad, but she's not into ice cream yet. Plenty of other zoo visitors, young and old, were happy to step up to the plate in her stead, and supplies of the 42 gallons donated by Prairie Farms were starting to run thin by late afternoon. Serving chores were handled, as they have been for the last decade, by volunteers from the Macon County Sheriff's Office, who love the work. It's a time for our family to provide for other families, said Lieutenant Jonathan Butts, and it's one of those days that truly puts a smile on everybody's face out here, and mine is one of them. Butts said the event draws a good crowd for the zoo, and it allows members of the sheriff's staff to step out from behind their badges and engage and chat with the public. You can talk to people and they can talk to you, he added. Sharing a cup of ice cream together, it's a very relaxed afternoon. Sultry humidity and mid-80s temperatures made life for anyone in uniform a little hot under the collar, but the weather could have been worse. Zoo director Ken Fry said rain splashed the zoo earlier Sunday, but retreated before the safari got rolling at 1 p.m. I kept watching the yellow blob of rain heading into Illinois, said Fry, who always keeps a wary eye on the weather. But then I saw it kind of dissipating, melting away like ice cream on a hot day. And now more information about Mike McElroy. An article written by Allison Petty, a staff writer for the Decatur Herald and Review, titled City and State Leaders Mourn Death of Decatur Mayor McElroy. This has just been updated. Community leaders reeled Friday from the death of Mayor Mike McElroy, remembering him as an unfailingly genuine person and passionate advocate for Decatur. McElroy, 63, died after apparently suffering a heart attack while driving his vehicle south on 22nd Street on Friday morning, causing the vehicle to crash. Macon County Coroner Michael Day said in a news release that McElroy was brought to St. Mary's Hospital emergency room in full arrest and pronounced dead at 8:38 a.m. It's safe to say, city and staff, our community is heartbroken, Mayor pro tempore Julie Moore Wolf said at a news conference in a Decatur Civic Center. Moore Wolf will fill the position for up to 60 days, at which time the council will make a decision about a permanent mayor, city manager Tim Gleason said. The mayor, often called by his nickname Tuna, served on the council since 2003 and as mayor since 2009, when he was elected to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of former Mayor Paul Osborne. McElroy unsuccessfully sought a state Senate seat in 2012, losing to Andy Menar. He was re-elected to another four-year term as mayor in April, defeating three challengers with nearly 47% of the vote. He was vice president of Skeff Distributing Company and had lived in Decatur for most of his life. A graduate of St. Teresa High School, from 1970 to 1989, he lived in Danville, where he owned several businesses and was managing partner in a liquor store chain. He and his wife, Lynn, have one adult son. McElroy was known for his friendliness, a quality that many remarked upon in remembering him. "You knew exactly what you were getting from him. He was very forthcoming," Councilwoman Dana Ray said. "He was a lovable guy, and he will be greatly missed." He became a source of perpetual optimism about Decatur, often speaking about what he saw as its bright future with developments such as the Midwest Inland Port and $91 million Lake Decatur dredging project that began last year. Governor Bruce Rauner described McElroy a champion for the city, as well as a friend to Rauner and his wife Diana. "Tuna was a strong advocate for Decatur who was always excited and honored to show off his wonderful community to anyone who visited," Rauner said in a written statement. "His passion for the community was infectious. He loved working for the people of Decatur." Councilman Jerry Dawson, a fellow St. Teresa graduate, met McElroy when he was in high school. He described the mayor as someone who was generally so fun and positive that people always wanted to run into him. Their friendship stretches back to the days when McElroy lived in Danville, and Dawson remembered that McElroy's visits home became an event because so many people looked forward to seeing him and enjoying his wit. "In my mind, I can just picture these certain nights when he was just on a roll. Everybody around him, he was just fun to be around," Dawson said. But along with his lighthearted nature, McElroy nurtured a sense of civic pride, Dawson said. "He cared deeply about the city and wrestled with significant council decisions. He was proud as a peacock of developments such as the downtown streetscape enhancement, but McElroy never sought credit for himself," Dawson said. "He simply rejoiced to see the city doing well." As for the mayor's legacy, Dawson said it could not be limited to something as tangible as a building or infrastructure. "McElroy worked hard to change negative attitudes about the city, both in other communities and from its own residents, and those efforts will live on. We've had some really fine mayors, and they all have their different styles, but nobody can say that he didn't have Decatur's best interests at heart in every decision that he made," Dawson said. Moore Wolf said the city turned around under McElroy's leadership, pointing out significant moves that occurred in the past 6 years: a new facility for the Decatur Police Department, major investments in the city's sewers and water infrastructure, downtown enhancements, the Midwest Inland Port. "I know he's smiling down on all of us right now and pointing out all the great things that are going on. We won't have him sitting here with us Monday nights, but he'll be helping from above," she said. Above all, Moore Wolf said, McElroy was thrilled to lead the community he loved so much. She was with him Wednesday at the opening of the new Center for the Boys and Girls Club of Decatur. A group of young girls, about 5 years old, approached and reverently asked McElroy if he was the mayor. He grinned widely and said, "Yes, I am." "He was just so proud to be mayor. That's all he wanted to do," she said. "He wanted to give it his all. He loved just being out there with the people." Coalition of Neighborhood Organizations President Sue Lawson said McElroy's death would be a great loss for the neighborhood groups, who could count on his support and attendance at many events. Not long after McElroy was elected, Lawson said she contacted him about a problem that residents were having with a city department. She asked if there was anything he could do, not expecting that he would personally visit the couple. But that's what he did. "They were so impressed, they were so shocked, The mayor came to them to hear what the complaint was, she said. That's the way he was. Evelyn Hood said he offered consistent help and support to the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society of Illinois, Inc., of which she is the founder and CEO. Most recently, he spoke at the reopening of the Society's museum last month and also promised Hood that he would look into helping with its accessibility needs. We're going to miss him, and we're going to miss the contributions that he has made to the city. I believe that he really thought the city is getting better and it's on its way up, she said. Councilwoman Lisa Gregory was elected in April but lived near the mayor and knew him for many years. She said he supported her candidacy, offering guidance and advice, while also accepting that they might sometimes disagree. Watching McElroy speak about the city's recent progress and his confidence in its success was very encouraging, she said. The city today lost a very good friend, she said. He truly cared about the city, and he wanted nothing but the best for our citizens. He had a heart of gold. Former city manager Ryan McCrady worked under McElroy for 6 years. He said the mayor was his friend in addition to his boss. He loved this community and its people more than I can ever express, said McCrady, who in January became president of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County. McCrady praised McElroy's unwavering commitment to making Decatur great, saying he served the community not only as mayor, but in many other ways. Decatur is a better place because of Mike McElroy, and I am a better person for having known him, he said. Gleason, who assumed his position March 23rd, said he respected and appreciated McElroy very much in the 4 months they worked together. Those sentiments were widely shared, as Gleason said he began receiving condolence messages from around the state Friday morning. He loved Decatur, Gleason said. His focus was this community. Councilman Pat McDaniel described McElroy as a super salesman for Decatur who could not be replaced. We had disagreements, the mayor and I, but he had a great sense of humor, said McDaniel, who challenged McElroy in the recent mayoral election. We always respected each other, and I appreciated that. Councilman Bill Faber praised McElroy's decision to allow residents to speak and ask questions as each item on the council's agenda was considered at meetings. No other mayor has offered that type of access to communication with our citizens, Faber said. His gesture of allowing and listening to our citizens talk has enhanced and strengthened this local democracy. Former Councilman Larry Foster, whose term ended in April, said McElroy was not much of a politician in the sense of letting others' opinions dictate his actions. He did what he thought was best for the community. He was the biggest cheerleader for the city, Foster said. He was so dedicated, it's going to be hard to fill his shoes. Macon County Sheriff Thomas Schneider said it was impossible to find a more genuine individual than McElroy, who was approachable and friendly, but also not prone to sidestepping the issues. He was no nonsense, a straight talker who would not just tell people what they wanted to hear, Schneider said. He cared so much about his community, and he truly, truly believed in everything that Decatur was about, Schneider said. He was Decatur. We are going to miss him more than you can ever imagine. An article out of Decatur, written by Donette Beckett, a Herald and Review staff writer, entitled Dinosaur Exhibit Fascinates Kids and Parents. Starts with a picture of a large dinosaur with a child riding on its back, captioned, Baylor Mattis as excitedly rides one of the dinosaurs in the Decatur Civic Center. Many dinosaur admirers already know a Triceratops head was 1,000 pounds. Or the tail of Tyrannosaurus rex weighed 1 ton. But visitors at this weekend's exhibit, Discover the Dinosaurs, learned much more about these two popular dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals, including the woolly mammoth and saber-toothed cat. The exhibit will continue during Sunday at the Decatur Civic Center, Activities included in the exhibit were the Dino Dig, Dino Theater, Dino Den, Scavenger Hunt, and Coloring Station. The Exhibit Plus had unlimited dinosaur rides, miniature golf, and inflatables. Jamarius Force 8 was one of the visitors who came to see if the things he thought he knew about dinosaurs were true. "I know T-Rex can run very fast," he said, "but I came because I wanted to see what the dinosaurs look like." Throughout the maze of animatronic replicas, walls of educational information regarding prehistoric life could be studied. For each display, visitors read descriptions about the dinosaur, including what period they lived. Cretaceous period, 144 million to 65 million years ago. Jurassic period, 206 million to 144 million years ago. And Triassic period, 248 million to 206 million years ago. Some animals thought to still be living are actually extinct. Anna Macari, 9, studied the exhibit featuring the 900-pound American lion. "If they are in with this, they are extinct," she said. "They are more in the dinosaur age." Macari visited the exhibit with her uncle, Dusty Zemet. Although the center had many children touching and posing with the prehistoric mammals, adults showed just as much interest. "I was kind of intrigued to see what it was like," Zemet said. "I used to be a dinosaur person." The exhibit was brought to Decatur through Blue Star Media. The group has similar displays throughout the country. The Decatur staff consists of 11 core people with the help of local personnel from Labor Ready Force. "They supply day force and setup," said Stan Parnes, production manager. "We've been treated like rock stars." According to Parnes, the exhibit has become popular again since the release of the film Jurassic World this summer. "There is a resurgence of dinosaurs," he said. Parnes and his staff encourage families to visit the exhibit because the entertainment value as well. "Even if they come up for an hour or two," he said, "it's a good way to get the kids out, and it's air-conditioned." Also from Decatur, written by Valerie Wells, a Herald and Review staff writer, "Revived Gus Macker Pits Teams Against Each Other and Heat." Downtown Decatur was transformed into classic street basketball on Saturday in spite of the blast furnace temperatures. "The Gus Mackers always on the hottest day of the year," said organizer Rodney Walker, smiling. The Gus Macker 3-on-3 basketball tournament was a mainstay of summer in Decatur until about 15 years ago when it ended. But 3 years ago, Walker revived it, and he said he's very pleased with the participation and interest as it's grown. This year, 140 teams signed up, with divisions for all ages and experience levels, from small children to grown men who were taking competition seriously. The tournament continued on Sunday in the streets and parking lots surrounding Skywalker Sports Complex. Major sponsors of the event were the Charles Lucas Law Firm, Skywalker, and ESPN 1050 Radio. Gus Macker is a national event with tournaments in 44 cities and brackets available online. Walker said Decatur was once one of the top sites in participation, and he hopes to rebuild it to its former glory. 3-on-3 basketball is based on neighborhood street basketball games or pickup games in parks with half-court play. One of the Gus Macker veterans on hand for the event was Mike Starks, whose ATR, above the rim, slammers were legendary in Gus Macker history. "We were the number one team in the first 25 years," Stark said. "Back-to-back national champions. We were sponsored by Reebok. They paid for everything. I'm grateful." One of those legendary players, Kip Jones, was also at Saturday's competition and played alongside his son in the afternoon game. The slammers were inducted into the Gus Macker Hall of Fame. In addition to the basketball games that filled the streets, Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union sponsored a dunk contest. Miles Chevrolet sponsored a three-point shooting competition. A bench press competition was going on inside Skywalker's gym, and behind the former Decatur Area Technical Academy building on Cerro Gordo Street, you could find battle balls. It's a cross between bumper cars and soccer or football, said co-founder Randy Carlson, who brought the game from Chicago. It's a large field surrounded by inflatable balls, and inside are clear inflatable balls big enough to crawl into. Players wear these balls and roll around the field, bumping into each other and trying to get soccer-type balls into goals. Several of the basketball players gave it a go between their games, and Carlson said it's new but catching on. Among the youngest players, 10-year-old Marley Carson and his three friends competed Saturday morning. Mom, Oneka Reed, said Marley plays basketball at Skywalker. This is another chance to compete, she said. The main thing in the heat is to stay hydrated, and they're taking turns and giving each other breaks. Decatur Memorial Hospital sports medicine staffers set up a canopy near the competition and were prepared with cooling packs and water. If anyone was in distress, said Chris Dansbury, manager of sports medicine, they were prepared to help. Corinthian Carson is home for the summer from West Virginia State University, and this is his third year in the revived Gus Macker. I remember it from back in the 90s when I was very young, he said. It's a great time, and I enjoy it. And from Iliopolis, an article written by Valerie Wells of the Herald and Review staff, middle schoolers get iPads through donation. Sangamon Valley Middle School students will have a new tool for learning in the fall thanks to the Monsanto Fund. The school was chosen by employees in the Iliopolis Monsanto corn production site for a $6,500 grant for new technology. Principal Cody Trigg is researching the best price for iPads with a goal of buying 30 to be kept on two carts and shared among the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. Last year at the elementary school where he was then principal, I did a fundraising campaign and solicited businesses to donate for iPads for the school, Trigg said. I put it on the district website, in the school newsletters, and Dave Scheffler, site manager of Monsanto, got hold of the information and gave us a nomination form to apply for the grant. Monsanto is interested in supporting initiatives that strengthen math and science skills in students, and Scheffler already knew of the middle school's strong science program, Trigg said. Teachers already were in the habit of allowing students to bring their own device and using them to supplement the school's two computer labs, but the 30 additional iPads will allow far more students to have access to technology daily, Trigg said. Teachers plan to use them for student research, practice in math, differentiated instruction, and even virtual field trips. In this time of limited school funding, field trips are, sadly, an extravagance, Trigg said. With these, we can do a Smithsonian's field trip. We can go to any museum in the world, essentially. And this has been Wendy Bauer reading from the Decatur Herald and Review. I will return shortly with part two. Thank you.